بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed all of us with the ability to truly worship Him in this month. And we pray that if He, because of our own actions, has not provided us with that up to this point in this month, on the 21st day of the month of Ramadan, He does forgive us and He allows us to develop those great traits and to worship Him and to reach His proximity, inshallah. On this day, the 21st of the month of Ramadan, the dua we have is as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ij'al li fihi ila mardatika dalila. ولا تجعل للشيطان فيه علي سبيلا واجعل الجنة لي منزلا ومقيلا يا قاضي حوائج الطالبين. It's a very beautiful dua. Oh Allah, on this day, make for me a dalil, a sign, a pointer, something that shows me and illuminates the path for me. The path to what? Mardatik, you being pleased. We've had this line repeated in a number of du'as, and I hope as we hear this and we allow our minds to ponder upon it in this blessed month, hopefully while we're fasting, to develop the understanding of the mardat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God being pleased with one. And that being the highest goal in one's life. Like the Holy Prophet, like Amir al-Mu'mineen, that the only thing they wanted was the mardat of Allah. Everything they did was for the mardat of Allah. Because they understood the importance of it, they understood the joy in it, they understood and realized that nothing can in any way compare to mardat of Allah. If people do things to satisfy their desires, the satisfaction of the desire is not even worth mentioning to compare to the mardat of Allah and the joy and the pleasure that's in that. Mardat of Allah, in order to understand it, we need the love of Allah. We need to love Him. If one has love of Allah, then what they want is the mardat of Allah. Through these du'as, reading them, understanding what the wordings mean, gradually, through reading them over and over, during times where we're alone, sometimes perhaps downloading an audio recitation of it that is more soothing to the heart, we can gradually develop that love and then feel how badly we want the mardat of Allah. How badly we want and we're craving for and truly having the fervor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with us. Now, if you develop that, if you really want it, like some of the urafa, they say, there's one of the urafa, Ayatullah Ansari Hamadani, who's buried in Qom. After doing his studies as a seminary student, going through the whole procedure and learning fiqh, usul, philosophy, maybe other disciplines, and advancing in them until they say he was a mujtahid in his mid or late 20s, it hit him. The want for the mardat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hit him hard. They say he left the city. He was out in the deserts around Qum, worshipping, praying, prostrating to the Divine, begging for an opening to know the path to the marzat of Allah, the progress spiritually. Once you have that longing and you don't know how to do that, you don't know how to get closer and have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you in a much more profound way than simply doing the wajibat and avoiding muharramat. Of course, that's the first step and the most difficult for most of us, but there are levels far beyond that. When you're looking for that, a path towards marzat, when you're struggling after learning theoretically what the path to the marzat is, but you have difficulty on the path to implement it, when you feel the great want, when you feel that fervor within, the strong want to have that marzat, you start feeling like you really need help in finding out how to do this and actually having help in doing it, in moving and progressing. This dua seems to be coming from someone like that, meaning that we have to start feeling like that, and the call and the ask, the request, the asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that dalil, for the path. Please God, while I'm doing it, if I approach a situation where doing something is a sin, it will push me away from your marzat, remind me there, a dalil. If I'm able to avoid the sins to a good extent and do the wajibat, and I'm trying to figure out how to perfect myself beyond that, if I'm trying to find someone that's going to help me and take my hand as a mentor, that dalil, you can provide that dalil. Allahumma ja'al li fihi ila marzatika dalila. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ لِلشَّيْطَانِ فِيهِ عَلَيَّ سَبِيلًا. Oh Allah, don't give any authority for shaitan over me. This is really nice as well. Oh Allah, shaitan is trying and wanting, and he has made a pledge that he will mislead people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Quran responds to shaitan when he says, I will mislead by your bi'izzatik, with the izzah of the divine, which is itself something worth exploring and understanding, that I will mislead. God says, as a response to that, you will not be able to mislead except for those that you have become their awliya. If shaitan becomes one's wali, he has authority over us. He has authority over us. What does authority over us mean? It means that the same way that if you're doing good, God is your wali, and he helps you, and he pushes you towards paradise. If shaitan is your wali, he's going to be the one that you're going to listen to and go to hellfire. If God is your wali, you're going to be listening to his commands. You're going to be an abd of God, only listening to him. If shaitan is your wali, then you're going to be listening to the shaitan. And when shaitan is your wali, the same way that if we look at a country, let's say, a tyrannical system, if we accept the citizenship of a tyrannical system and accept the authority of that government, if that government is taking us in a certain direction and they have that authority over us, and if we don't want to listen, they'll force us to move in that direction, shaitan becoming our wali will have that authority over us, and he's going to pull us in the wrong direction. So we're saying, oh Allah, don't give that authority to shaitan. Does God give that authority to shaitan to mislead anybody? Yes, but not without the person themselves willing it. How does a person want to be the wali of shaitan and have shaitan to be his wali, have shaitan to be his imam, have shaitan to be his leader? How does that happen? By listening to the shaitan. If we listen to the shaitan, to the whispers of the Satan, then we have taken him as our wali. Of course, with one or two sins, we don't fully become his wali. But if we continue those sins, he's going to have full wilayah over us. And we will leave faith. Sins are very important for us to avoid and make sure we struggle, we go through the struggle and we strive to avoid them. We strive to fulfill obligations, which is listening to Allah. If we listen to Allah, He will become our wali. The verse of the Holy Quran, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum ash-shaytan yukhrijunahum مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ وَلَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. If a person accepts the wilayah of shaitan by listening to him, then shaitan will have that authority over them. Now, having understood that, what we're asking here is that I understand and I realize I have listened to the shaitan, and your system is God, that if you listen to the shaitan, he becomes your wali. And I know I've done things that I would be one of those that should be having the shaitan as their wali. But I'm begging you, please, God, make an exception. This is tawbah, pleading, okay? Asking for forgiveness. God, don't allow shaitan to become my wali. I made a mistake. I listened to him, yes, but save me. Please save me. Don't let him become the one that has authority over me. وَاجْعَلْ الْجَنَّةَ لِي مَنْزِلًا وَمَقِيلًا. O Allah, make paradise, al-jannah, the beautiful gardens that are the, in a sense, most beautiful manifestations in that way, or of trees and gardens and streams. At that level, those are some of the best of manifestations, as opposed to the ones that we have here in this world, which are lower. Oh Allah, make that my abode, manzilan, where I'm going to be remaining there. That's where I'm going to be residing, not where I'm temporarily. Sometimes when we have this in hadith, the actions we perform, the good deeds, we temporarily go to paradise. Remember what we've talked about in some of the previous du'as. Those good deeds are paradise, the bad deeds are hellfire. I temporarily go there, but I want it to be my manzil, where I reside. I don't want to be a temporary resident. I don't want to be there for a trip. I don't want to be there on a temporary basis. I want to be there permanently. Manzil wa maqila, and where I'm going to be sleeping and taking naps. If it's my home, then that's where I'm going to be napping as well. Resting myself, resting my body, and enjoying the gardens, enjoying God's blessings and God's mercy over there. And lastly, we call him, say, Ya Qadhiya Hawa'ij al-Talibin. We're basically telling God by mentioning that He is the one that is Qadhi, which means fulfills the needs, Hawa'ij of al-Talibin, those who are requesting and seeking. What we're saying here is that these are our needs, the need to have a dalil, a sign, a guide towards the mardat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should understand that as a need, it's a haja. And the need to be saved from shaitan having that authority over us because of the deeds that we have committed. It's a need, it's a serious need that we have. And wanting Jannah and paradise and being there permanently that being a haja, a need, and saying, "Oh Allah, you're the one that fulfills needs. You bestow people with the blessings that rid them of the needs that they have, fulfill their needs." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that attribute of His to grant us all of these great requests that the Imams have taught us in this dua. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.